بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Continuing with the tafsir of the portion that was recited in the Taraweeh Salah. Last night we heard the 22nd juz of Quran. Tonight we heard the 23rd juz, including Surah Yasin. And as we had mentioned before, that when it comes to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a complete and perfect way of life. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not restricted to a specific time, specific place. It doesn't govern just our acts of ibadat and worship. But the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala governs, controls and guides every aspect and facet of the life of a mu'min. Unlike we find, for example, the Jews, the Christians, where their deen, their religion is restricted to a time and a place. On the day of Sabbath, a Saturday, then they will worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will abstain from guna and sin. And the rest of the week, they're free to do as they please. On the day of Sunday, a person will go to church, he'll confess to the sins of that he committed in the week. And thereafter, when he leaves, he's free to do as he pleases for the remainder of the week. But for a mu'min, the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala governs our social life, our business dealings, every single facet of our life. And therefore, we mentioned previously that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down certain laws and rules which are there for the betterment of society. That not only in the akhirat must a person be successful, but during his life in this world, as a community, as a society, as families, there should be success, progress, the community should flourish. And one of the major sins or major acts of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which destroys this, which causes havoc in society, as we mentioned before, is that of zina, fornication. That this will break up a home, it will cause talaq to take place, it will break families, it will break communities, it will leave children without parents, children will come out of broken homes, and the problems just multiply and multiply based on the act of zina, fornication and immodesty. And therefore, we discussed in the previous, or last week, on one of the nights, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is given to the men and the women. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ Allah says, say to the believing men that they should lower their gazes. Say to the believing females, they should lower their gazes. In other words, they should create an environment that is conducive to the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the opening verses of the 22nd juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the azwaj mutahharat, the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. يَا نِسَاءَ النَّبِيِّ لَسْتُنَّكَ أَحَدٍ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ Allah says, O spouses of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are not like ordinary women. In other words, you are the role models of the ummah till the day of qiyamah. If you will be steadfast, the entire ummah will be steadfast. If you will slip up, the entire ummah will slip up. Just as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a role model, his noble spouses are the role models of our mothers and sisters. So Allah first mentions to them their rank, their position, their status. And thereafter Allah says, فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ Because of your rank, your status, because of you being a role model, now you inculcate this quality within yourself and teach it to the others, that when you speak, if you are forced to speak to a male who is not your mahram, not your relative, then do not speak in soft and alluring tones. Don't speak in such a way that it will arouse desire in the opposite person, or the opposite gender. فَيَطْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٍ Allah says, that person who has a sickness in his heart, spiritually, he is ill, he has the malady of being attracted or acting on his desires, then this desire will come into his heart when he hears you speaking. He'll want to spend more time in your company. He'll want to see what's the face behind the voice. And this will then open the door to zina and fornication. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَ بِالْقَوْلِ So therefore, don't speak in soft and sweet tones. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if this is difficult, a woman leaves the home for necessity, she is commanded to lower her gaze, she is commanded not to beautify her voice. So if this is difficult to do, then the solution is not to put yourself into the situation. وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ Allah says that remain steadfast, cling to your homes. As far as possible, remain within the home. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had mentioned to Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu that the duties that pertain to the family and that have to be fulfilled outside of the house, this is your responsibility. When it comes to the duties within the home, then this is the duty of Sayyidatuna Fatima radiallahu anha. This is the division of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No person can come till the day of Qiyamah who has greater understanding, greater wisdom, greater knowledge than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So here Allah says, وَقَرْنَ فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ, remain firmly attached to your homes. وَلَا تَبَرَّجْنَ تَبَرُّجَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ الْأُولَى, and do not display your beauty like was the case in the former period of ignorance, al-jahiliyyah al-ula. From this mufassirin say that there is an indication that there will be a second period of ignorance towards the latter part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when bihayai, immodesty, shamelessness will become rife. So Allah is warning them that do not display your beauty, do not flaunt your beauty outside of the home. This is reserved and restricted for your husbands and for your mahrams. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that these laws and regulations are not there to make life difficult. What is the maqsood? What is the objective? What does Allah want to give a person? إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ, Allah only wishes to remove all forms of impurity, all forms of dirt, all forms of rijs from your heart, O Ahlul Bayt, O household of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah wants to purify and cleanse you spiritually. This is the reason Allah has sent down this command, that you will stay far away from the possibility of zina. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will purify and cleanse you. Thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of the incident of the nikah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to Zainab bint Jahsh radiyallahu anha. And this was a very unique arrangement that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made, in this sense that normally in a nikah there is a requirement for someone to officiate over the nikah. This was removed and dropped off for this particular marriage. Normally there is a requirement of two witnesses to witness the nikah. This was also removed and dropped off for this marriage. And therefore Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha, when she would speak to her co-wives, then to try and get one over them, she would boast and say, I am that wife whose nikah was performed in the seventh heaven. Your nikah was performed in this world, my nikah was performed in the seventh heaven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah speaks about the incident. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had adopted Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu. He nurtured him, he took care of him, and he thereafter got him married to Zainab bint Jahsh radiallahu anha at that time. As a couple, they lived together for some time, and thereafter they realized that they are not compatible. This marriage is on the rocks. It doesn't seem as though we are going to reconcile between one another. So Zayd bin Haritha comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he says to him, O Nabi of Allah, Zainab has a very sharp tongue. She abuses me verbally, and I don't feel that reconciliation is possible. Therefore, I wish to divorce her. أُرِيدُ أَنْ أُطَلِّقَهَا, I want to end this marriage. So you give me the go-ahead and I will divorce her. On this point also, ulama say, one pious person had mentioned that I met many awliya of Allah, many friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I found 90% of them got wilayat upon making sabr on the tongue of their wives. 90% of them. The tongue of the wife, the words that she will say to you, the abuse that she'll throw at you, sometimes rightfully, sometimes not, but making sabr, swallowing the bitter pill, they got their wilayat and they reached closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The remaining 10% reached it on ibadat. But 90% of them, sabr on the tongue of the wife. Allah give us tawfiq, give us understanding as men, that we open our chests, open our hearts, and we tolerate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that women are from a crooked rib. They are deficient as far as their emotions are concerned. They're emotional. They become affected greatly by many things. Men, Allah has created us strong. Allah has given us courage. Allah has given us the ability to tolerate. So therefore, as they say in a lighter note, sometimes when an argument breaks out in the house between husband and wife, a person looking at the situation, he doesn't know, is it husband and wife or wife and wife? The husband also is behaving like a woman, the way he's speaking, the way he's reacting. Allah protect, Allah save us. So he comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he says, I want to divorce her, and I don't feel that we'll be able to reconcile. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has already been informed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that in the future Zayd radiallahu anhu will divorce his wife. And Allah then tells Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that I am going to perform her nikah to you, O Nabi of Allah. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam is in this predicament, that here he is coming to me for counsel, for advice. And if I give him the go-ahead to divorce his wife, and tomorrow I get married to her, what will the people say? That here the Nabi of Allah is being consulted. He commands a sahabi to leave his wife to divorce her, and then he weds her himself. So out of worry and concern that what will the reaction of the people be, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says to him, ittaqillah, amsik alayka zawjak, wattaqillah, that O Zayd, keep your wife in your nikah and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bring the consciousness of Allah, try and reconcile between the two of you. وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ مَ اللَّهُ مُبْدِيهِ. Allah says to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that you concealed within your heart that which Allah was going to make apparent. This divine revelation that had come to you, that you are going to marry her in the future, you concealed it. Why? وَتَخْشَ النَّاسِ. You had fear. What will the reaction and the response be from the people? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rebukes Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَى. That Allah is more deserving and more worthy of your fear. If there is any person that you should fear, any being that you should fear, it should not be the people, but it should be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find, respected brothers and elders, many a times when a person makes a decision in his life, especially when he decides to change his life for the better, perhaps it's the month of Ramadan, a person goes for some program, he sits in the company of some pious person, and that desire comes into his heart to change his life, to get rid of the evil actions that are within his life. Now you see the person begins to grow a beard, he's dressing in the correct way, he's coming early to the masjid. If he has some transactions that are incorrect in his business, he begins to rectify this. And he will face a lot of backlash from the people around him. Perhaps his wife will have something to say, his children may rebuke him, his family members, his friends may say things to him. Here we are taught in this incident that if a person has followed the necessary, the correct protocol, his intention is sincere, his heart is clean, then we do not need to fear what the people say. We need to fear what Allah subhanahu, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala think of me? If Allah is happy with me, then it doesn't matter what the reaction and the emotions of the rest of the people are. One example that ulama give is a young girl. She gets proposed and the day of her nikah arrives. And a few hours before the nikah can take place, she's sitting in her room in front of the mirror. Her friends and family are there. They're applying her makeup. She's got her wedding dress on. The hairdresser had come the night before, did her hair. And the hairdresser said that you're not even allowed to sleep on the bed tonight. You have to preserve this hairstyle. So the entire night she stays awake. Her hair is done. Her makeup is done. She's wearing a fancy and smart dress. And as she's seated there in front of the mirror, her friends and family begin to compliment her. How beautiful you are looking. And when your husband sees you, he'll fall down. He'll be amazed when he looks at you. And this bride begins to cry. Tears come down her cheeks. So her friends and family members say to her that, why are you crying? We're complimenting you. We're praising your looks. And here you are crying. So the bride replies that all of you can praise me and compliment me. You can say I look beautiful. But when I see my husband, if he doesn't think I'm beautiful, then all your praise means nothing. He is the one who I need to please. He is the one who needs to see me as beautiful. He needs to compliment and praise me. Otherwise the entire world can praise me. My husband is not happy, then the entire day is spoiled. So in the same way ulama explained, the entire world can praise us or insult us. A person can say what he wants. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased, Allah is happy, a person is sincere, he wants to change his life, he wants to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we shouldn't worry, we shouldn't fear the reaction and the comments of people. Moving on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then speaks about an incident that will occur to a jannati. This person will be in the gardens of Jannah and he will address his friends and those who are with him. And he will say to them that, قَالَ قَائِلٌ مِّنْهُمْ إِنِّي كَانَ لِي قَرِينٌ. That in this worldly life, I had a friend. And this friend would always taunt me, he would mock me. يَقُولُ أَإِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُصَدِّقِينَ. He would say that, why are you believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why are you following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? أَإِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا أَإِنَّا لَمَدِينُونَ. That when we leave this world and we have become sand and bones, then will there be any sort of recompense? We are not going to be questioned. We won't be accountable for our actions. So this person, this jannati, will now wonder, and he'll say to his friends around him, that I wonder where is this person, this so-called friend of mine, who tried to deter me from the obedience of Allah. I wonder what was his outcome. قَالَ هَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُطَّلِعُونَ. So someone will say to him, that why don't you look down into the fire of Jahannam, perhaps you'll see him there. فَاطَّلَعَ فَرَآهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. So this person will go. Ka'b Ahbar radiallahu anhu would explain, and he would quote from the Torah, that in Jannah there will be a viewing deck. And the people of Jannah can go to this viewing deck and see the people of Jahannam. The reason for this is that in this world they had sabr, they heard the insults, the comments, the taunts, the mocking of people, and they tolerated it. Now in order for them to get their revenge, so to say, for them to truly appreciate that what Allah has given me and what Allah has saved me from, so they will be allowed to look into Jahannam and see those people who are suffering. So he will look down and he will see this friend of his in the middle of the blazing fire of Jahannam. قَالَ تَاللَّهِ إِن كِتَّ لَتُرْدِينَ. He'll address this person, he'll say, by Allah, you almost destroyed me. If I had obeyed you, I followed you, you would have landed me in ruin and destruction. وَلَوْلَا نِعْمَةُ رَبِّي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُحْضَرِينَ Had it not been for the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon me, then I would also have been in this punishment with you. And then he will taunt and mock him. أَفَمَا نَحْنُ بِمَيِّتِينَ That are we not going to leave this world? Are we not going to die? إِلَّا مَوْتَةً الْأُولَى وَمَا نَحْنُ بِمُعَذَّبِينَ We're not going to be punished. All those comments that this person would tell him in the world. So he will mock him and say this to him. And thereafter he will enjoy the bounties of Jannah that Allah has given him. Allah then says, إِنَّ هَذَا لَهُوَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ This first person who was saved from the fire of Jahannam, he gained admittance into the gardens of Jannah. This is the true success. Success in this world is temporary. A person makes it, tomorrow he loses it. A person has a family, tomorrow he loses the family. He buys a new car, tomorrow that he meets in an accident, the car is gone. But the ni'mats, the bounties of Jannah will never be taken away from a person. Thereafter Allah says, لِمِثْلِ هَذَا فَلْيَعْمَلِ الْعَامِلُونَ For this reward, those who make an effort in this world should strive. They should make their effort and they should try and attain this reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu anhu would explain, he would say to people, irtahalatid dunya mudbiratan. This world has already set off on its journey, departing from us. Wartahalatil akhiratu muqbilatan. And the akhirat has began its journey coming towards us. Walikulli wahidatin minhuma banun. He would say that the akhirat has children, and the dunya has children, people attached. فَكُونُوا مِنْ أَبْنَاءِ الْآخِرَةِ So make an effort to be from those of the akhirat, people of the akhirat. And he would explain, فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ That today you have an opportunity to do amal, to strive, to make an effort, and there is no accountability. You will not be questioned in this world for your actions. وَغَدًا حِسَابٌ وَلَا عَمَلٌ But tomorrow there will be hisab, accountability, and there will not be a chance to make an effort to strive for your akhirat. Therefore he would say, make an effort, strive to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq and understanding. Inshallah over the next few even nights we'll be discussing this kitab for a few minutes, which is titled Yearning for the Hereafter, Shauq-e Watan, which was written by Hakimul Ummah, Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanwi rahmatullahi alayh. And he explains in the introduction to this kitab that a plague had broken out in a certain district in India. And he noticed that this plague had affected many people. Many people lost their lives, lost family members. Other people lost their businesses, their source of livelihood. Many people had fled from that particular town. Those who remained were in a state of despondency. They had lost all will and hope to live. So he says that when I analyzed this situation, I realized that the root cause of all of this was a lack of yaqeen, conviction in the promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of dunya, the tests, the trials and tribulations that will come to a person, and belief, fear, firm yaqeen and conviction in the akhirat. And he says, when I further analyzed and looked into this, I realized that this was because a person is engrossed in this world, and he has not made preparations for the hereafter. Because of this, he has become so comfortable in dunya. Abu Hazim rahimahullah, pious person, someone asked him, that as people of iman, we read about the bounties of jannat. And how many verses of Quran Allah speaks about? The bounties, the blessings, the ni'mas of Jannah, where a person will have no fear, no sickness, no worry. A person will have beautiful sweet fruit, and the homes of Jannah, the rivers of Jannah, and all the bounties that Allah speaks about. And at the same time, we read about the punishment and the adab of Jahannam, and how severe and serious it is. Yet, there's still no yearning, no desire. A person doesn't yearn and hope that I will reach Jannah one day. We're happy in our lives in this world. So he replies, he says, عَمَّرْتُمْ دُنْيَاكُمْ وَخَرَّبْتُمْ آخِرَتَكُمْ The reason for this is you have made yourself so comfortable in this world. You've got everything going for you. You've got the latest car, the latest cell phone. Your house has got the latest technology. You're updating and upgrading all the time. You've made yourself so comfortable in this world. And you haven't sent anything forward to the akhirat. We know a person has a large sum of money. One is he has some change, he'll put it into some bank account, some investment in this country. A person has a large amount of money, then he wants to make an offshore investment. Because we don't know what's the situation in the country with the economy. Just now there's some rioting, some looting once again. I don't know what's going to happen to my investment, so better I make an offshore investment. And I'll just work for a few more years, and the day will come I'll retire, I'll move overseas, some beachfront destination, and there I'll be able to enjoy what I work for. So ulama say that just as we are making investments in dunya, we should also make the offshore investment in the account of the akhirat. There, you won't find the bank director, the manager phoning you and saying the bank has crashed. or the share price has gone down and we can't pay you out. There, there'll only be multiplication, a person, whatever investment he made, Allah will give him more and more and more. So, he says that, I realize that a person, or the people don't have this yaqeen, this conviction in the akhirat. And this is the reason that this plague and this particular test that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to them has afflicted them and affected them so badly. And therefore the desire came into my heart to compile some ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that speak about the reward for calamities when a person goes through some sicknesses, illnesses, and speaks about the gift and the preference of death over life. Many ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam where he speaks about giving preference to maut over hayat, death over life. We know in this world, today a person has good health, tomorrow the health is gone. How many a person, he wakes up in the morning, something has happened, he can't walk. His eyesight is gone. Or something is, he just feels some pain, tomorrow he has to go for an operation. There's no certainty in this dunya. A person buys something, he buys the latest item on the market. Give it a few weeks, there's something new. There's something better, something updated. A person can never catch up with dunya. And therefore dunya will always be there to deceive a person. Person thinks he's happy today, tomorrow he's sad. Tomorrow there's something troubling him, something worrying him. But when he comes to the akhirat, when it comes to the bounties of the akhirat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for this. خُلِقَتِ الدُّنْيَا لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ Allah says the dunya has been created at your service for you to use, for you to enjoy to a certain extent, but you have been created for the akhirat, for the bounties of Jannah. So in the first hadith, Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تُحْفَةُ الْمُؤْمِنْ الْمَوْتِ Death is the gift of a believer. Just as a person anticipates, somebody says he's going to bring a gift for you. Someone comes from Umrah, he says, I bought something for you. How we wait in anticipation, that I want to see what he brought for me. A young child waits for Eid day. He knows my grandparents have got something for me, my father bought something for me. So in anticipation he waits, what is this gift going to be? How I'll enjoy it, I'll unwrap it and I'll see what has been bought for me. And I'll use the toy or whatever it is the child waits for. Here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, just as we wait in anticipation, we wait to enjoy that gift, maut, death is also the gift of a believer. We should wait, we should anticipate. When am I going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? But this, my respected brothers and elders, will only be for that person who has cleansed and purified his heart. He knows that my affairs in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are all in order. I've got everything in order and I'm ready to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a clean slate. Whatever gunas, whatever sins, whatever skeletons I have in my closet, I've made tawbah, I've made peace with my past, I've tried to bring all those gunas and sins out of my life, and I'm changing my life, I'm ready now to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it's better on that side. But that person who doesn't have the fikr, the concern, that my islah must be made, my rectification, and I must purify my heart, I need to bring the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala into my heart, then a person is afraid. You find commonly, a man will say to his wife at home that when I pass away, before you can complete the sentence, don't speak about death. As though if you don't speak about it, it's not going to come. It's a reality. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِقَةُ الْمَوْتِ Every person will have to drink from the cup of death. When our maut will come, we don't know. But as long as Allah has given us life, as long as we are seated here, we are breathing, Allah has given us the opportunity to make tawbah. To turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with regret. That whatever I did in the past, I am now turning away from that. I'm ready to turn over a new leaf. And I'm ready to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yes, a person will slip and fall. No matter what effort a person makes, even the most pious person also, no matter what effort he makes, no matter how close he is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there will be the time when he'll slip and fall. He'll make a mistake, he'll get involved again in that guna and sin. But the key is not to remain down. A child is learning to walk, the child stands up, he falls down, hurts himself, child is crying for 5-10 minutes. Child cries so much, the parents phone, the grandparents come and visit also, bring one lollipop, sweet for the child, that you fell down, you hurt yourself. But the child doesn't stop. You don't find a 40-year-old man still crawling into the masjid and coming for salah. Eventually he wakes up, and the day comes where he stands, and not only is he standing, he begins walking and running and sprinting. So the person makes the effort, will fall into the gutter of guna and sin. Nafs has become strong, shaitan will tempt a person. A person will slip up. But as long as he wakes himself, he wakes up again, he dusts himself off, he makes tawbah, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ulama say the day will come where that person will also run in the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will pull the person towards him because he can see you're making a concerted effort. You're trying, you're making tawbah, you're adopting those avenues of tawbah, you're trying to stay away from bad company, you're coming in the company of the pious. Ulama say, we'll end with this example, that a person has a garden, And the garden hasn't been tended to for some time. So there's many weeds, there's thorns, there's bushes, it's become like a jungle. And now the person wishes to clean up this garden. So we have one of two options. We have the easy route and the difficult route. The difficult route is the person can put on a pair of gloves, put on some gum boots, take a spade and say, Bismillah, I'm going in and I'm going to try and fix it myself. So we'll say to a person like this, that by please, before you go, make sure your will is updated and make wasiyat for us also. I don't think you're coming out alive. Some snake will catch you, some thorn will prick you, and most likely your moth will come out in that garden. So that's the difficult route. A person can try and do it himself. And then the easy route, ulama explain, is go to the petrol station, buy one can of petrol, bring it back and just sprinkle it over the garden and light one match and sit back. And now you let that fire destroy and burn all the weeds and the bushes and the thorns, and you'll be left with a clean and empty field. So the easy way, which ulama explained in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our heart also has become full of thorns, full of bushes. There's no roses, no plants and flowers that are growing in our hearts because of the gunas and sins. One is a person can try himself. That I'll try, I'll make some effort, I'll see how I can change my life around. And I'll try and get rid of these gunas and sins. That's the difficult route. We don't know if he'll be successful or nafs will be successful and overcome him. And most of the time we know a person is trying for how many years on his own and nothing is happening. And the easy route, ulama explained, is a person goes to the petrol station where the muhabbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being sold, sits in the company of the pious people. The ahlullah, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask them, give me a little bit of petrol and light the match. And now watch how the pious people guide us. They give us mashwara, they give us counsel, and they teach us how to take out these bushes and these thorns from our heart. And then a person is left with this empty field, and now you ask the pious person, now teach me how to plant those flowers, those roses, the nafil ibadat, the sadaqah, the akhlaq, and all the beautiful qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the avenue Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. In our country, we have absolutely no excuse. The number of mashayikh, ulama, seniors that we have in this masjid also, Mulana's program takes place every week. We have these majalis, these gatherings. These are the avenues Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created for us. The person will sit in the company of the pious people and then see how that yearning, the desire comes for the akhirat. Person's entire life will change. And not only will he now come onto the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but ulama explain it will become enjoyable for a person. He'll enjoy every step, fighting against nafs, against shaitan, making an effort, abstaining from guna. It will become enjoyable and a person will reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah give us tawfiq. Akhiru al-amana. We make a short dua inshaAllah. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم يا أول الأولين يا آخر الآخرين يا راحم المساكين يا ذا القوة المتين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين Oh my most beloved Allah, most loving Allah, most kind Allah, most compassionate Allah. Oh my Allah, our lives have become full of gunas and sins, Oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, from day to night we have oppressed ourselves, Oh my Allah. Ya Allah, there isn't a single command of yours that we have broken, Oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, you commanded us to lower our gaze, we lifted our gaze, my Allah. You commanded us to listen to Quran, we listened to music, my Allah. You commanded us to speak the truth, we spoke lies, O my Allah. O my beloved Allah, nafs and shaitan have come against us, O my Allah. Our nafs has become strong. Shaitan, O my Allah, shaitan has become close to us, O my Allah. O my Allah, we don't know how to rid ourselves of these evils, O my Allah. Ya Allah, we try, we make an effort, my Allah. We slip and fall, O my Allah. O my Allah, tonight we are raising our hands before you, O my Allah. From the bottom of our hearts with nadamat and regret, my Allah. Oh my Allah, we make tawbah from every guna and sin, oh my Allah. From the time of bulugh till now, my Allah. Whatever mistakes we made in our life, my Allah. Oh my Allah, we are ready to change, my Allah. Ya Allah, we apologize to you, my Allah. You gave us so many bounties, so many ni'mats, oh my Allah. Day and night, my Allah, your ihsan and your kindness upon us, my Allah. Ya Allah, every morning we wake up, we've got the use of our limbs, my Allah. Our eyes are working, our hands are working, our feet are working, my Allah. Ya Allah, there's food on the table, my Allah. There's a car in our driveway, my Allah. We've got roofs over our head, my Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, so many bounties and blessings you have given to us, my Allah, we used against you, my Allah. We used it to disobey you, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, we have nadamat and regret in our hearts, my Allah. Ya Allah, we won't do it again, my Allah. Ya Allah, we make a promise to you, my Allah. We won't do it again, my Allah. Whatever guna and sin is plaguing and worrying us, my Allah. Ya Allah, there are so many sins, ya Allah. We just can't get rid of them, my Allah. Ya Allah, through your quwwat and power, pull us towards you, my Allah. Cleanse and purify our hearts, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, give us the hearts of your lovers, my Allah. Of the awliya and your friends, my Allah. When they take your name, they find sweetness, my Allah. When they read Quran, they enjoy it, my Allah. They enjoy coming to the masjid and standing before you, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, these things have become difficult for us, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, outwardly we look like good Muslims, oh my Allah. But you know the reality of the heart, my Allah. Ya Allah, you know the skeletons in our closet, oh my Allah. You know our weaknesses and faults, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, make us your close friends, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, in these last 10 nights of the month of Ramadan, my Allah, make a decision for us, my Allah. Make a decision for us, ya Allah. If you will pull us towards you, no one can pull back, oh my Allah. If you will make the decision of our hidayat and our tawbah, my Allah, our life in this world will be successful, my Allah. Our qabr will be a success, our akhirat will be a success, oh my Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam, my Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had mentioned to us that in these last 10 nights, there are millions and millions of people who you free from the fire of Jahannam. Oh my Allah, include us in that register, my Allah. Include our parents, my Allah. Our children, our spouses, our family members, our friends, our musallis, the entire locality, the entire ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my Allah, you don't like to see your slave being punished, my Allah. Ya Allah, you don't like to throw us into the fire of Jahannam, my Allah. Ya Allah, if we become obedient to you, you'll become happy, my Allah. Ya Allah, help us, oh my Allah. Help us, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, we don't know what to do, my Allah. We don't know how to obey you, my Allah. Oh my Allah, you teach us, my Allah. You guide us, my Allah. Oh my Allah, make us good children to our parents, my Allah. Oh my Allah, make us good spouses, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, make us good neighbors, oh my Allah. Make us good musallis, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, you nurture and teach us, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, we are extremely weak, my Allah. We become tired so easily, my Allah. Ya Allah, we have big hopes and aspirations, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, we look at the pious people, my Allah. Ya Allah, we hope to reach their level, oh my Allah. The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the Tabi'een, Tabu'ut Tabi'een, the Fuqaha, Muhaddithin, and all our Akabir and seniors, my Allah. What hearts they had, my Allah. What ibadat they would do, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, but nothing is difficult for you, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, you make us worthy, oh my Allah. Ya Allah, make us worthy of your wilayat and your friendship, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, grant us such a bond and connection with you that will become a barrier from all and every type of guna and sin, oh my Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, when the day of our maut comes, my Allah, let it be a joyous occasion for us, my Allah. Give us the yearning and desire to meet you, oh my Allah. Oh my beloved Allah, grant us entry into the gardens of Jannah, oh my Allah, with the companion in the companionship of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh my Allah, those who have left this world, fill their qubur with noor, my Allah. Make them maghfirat. Oh my Allah, those who are sick and ailing, give them shifa, kamila, ajila, mustamirra, daima. Those who are in financial difficulty, you make a way out for them, oh my Allah. Those who are of marriageable age, find suitable spouses for them, my Allah. Ya Allah, whatever problems are plaguing the ummah, you remove it, oh my Allah. Where the ummah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being oppressed, oh my Allah, you come to their assistance and aid, oh my Allah. Oh my Allah, give us that fikr and concern, my Allah, for the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Oh my Allah, you guide us, cleanse and purify our hearts. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa na'udhu bika min sharri ma sta'adhaka minhu nabiyyuka Muhammadun sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Antal musta'an wa alayka al-balagh wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Jazallahu anna nabiyyana Muhammadan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahluh. Rabbana taqabbal minna. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين